Profile with Wamboi Mburu. This is a repeat of Profile that was aired on Wednesday.
Now welcome with me, our sister Catherine. Catherine Jerry. She also sings. Somewhere along the way, I guess she will sing for us. Yeah. But Catherine Jerry, our guest today on Profile, coming to us from Zimmerman, isn't it?
PCEA Zimmerman.
It's PCEA Zimmerman.
Yes.
So let's go back to your background, Catherine. Yeah. And then we carry the story on to when we will share the healing.
Exactly.
The healing of the balm of Gilead.
Yeah.
To what, I'm looking forward to that part.
Yeah. It's very exciting.
But to truly appreciate the healing of Jesus.
Yes.
We will have to go back to the wounds.
Exactly.
Talk to us now.
Okay.
Yes.
My name is Catherine Jerry. I'm born again.
Amen.
I love the Lord. Me and Jesus are close friends. And I'm a mother of one beautiful baby girl. And I thank God for the far that he has brought us. We've come from a long, long way. And I remember this morning my daughter was telling me, Mom, go. Go and tell people where God has brought us from.
How old is she?
She's 13.
Ah.
Yeah, okay. She was telling me, go, Mom, I'll be here interceding for you. Go and tell people that we don't sleep hungry anymore. And that was so really encouraging.
Amen.
Because we're coming from a journey. Sometimes when I'm really talking about this, I get a bit emotional.
That's okay.
But the bottom line is that I'm healed. And that is the best part of my life. I've geared myself to encourage someone who is out there to tell that person, you can wait upon the Lord because the promises of God are always, always trusted. I trusted upon those promises. I'm coming from a life of rejection. As far as I can remember, I was rejected when I was so young. I don't know what happened. And I could tell because rejection is a language by itself. And I always started here when I was 13 years. That is when I started seeing life in another dimension because I got married when I was 13 years. I know many people will ask this question. Some of them will judge, but that's not anything to count on. I did not get married out of choice. I got married because I was running away from rejection and trying to find myself. I was trying to get my identity because 13 years is when you're getting into teenage. You want to recognize yourself. You want to know your identity. Actually, you want to know who you are. So my dad passed on when I was in Form 1. I was a daddy's girl, if I may say. And when he passed on, everything on my world just came to a standstill. I was in Form 1. I was a very bright girl. I was admitted in Kabare Girls High School. And I was just bright. And after that, because my mom rejected me, for reasons known to her, I don't know. But I thank God for mom. I truly love her. And we are great, great friends today. So I thank God.
But what happened? I'm still wondering because at age 13,
yes,
that's when you must have been in Form 1.
Yes.
So we will then have to carry it a little bit backwards.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up to 13,
yes,
had you been facing rejection? Because your dad was alive then.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I will say that I noted some few things, but I really could not tell what it was.
Even earlier,
yes,
in your life,
even
when dad
earlier
was alive.
In life. But I could not really tell what it was. I thought maybe it was just the normal discipline of a child. But then I realized it was a bit too harsh on me.
Were you many in your household?
Yes, actually we are many.
What,
we are 10 of us.
What born are you?
I'm 9th born in the family.
Hey!
Yes.
9th born.
Yes. So I could tell. And actually I'm not coming from a very, very well-up family. So I could still, today, I understand all the pressure my mom was going through, bringing up 10 children. And really, it was hard those times. But I thank God.
So she would do what, for example?
Most of the time she would beat me and like, I don't really understand. The beating could be so severe until I'm like, okay. And most of the times, I remember there was a time she actually, I don't know what happened, but there was a time I ran away from home at around 10.
In the night?
Yes. She told me, today, I'm going to kill you today. So I was like, okay, I don't want to die. Then I pleaded with my dad. Dad, why don't you kill me yourself? And then,
right in mom's presence.
Yes. And then I remember there was something I had done in school. I really can't tell what it was, but I remember I ran away. And then now dad, seeing that I've ran away, he told my mom, okay, I want my daughter back. So they were out there, they were just looking for me. And where I went to hide, they now went home and told my parents, she's in our home.
So, you went to someone else's house.
So they came for me because I was afraid. I didn't want to die. You know, the phobia.
Mm.
And I grew up with a lot of nightmares, fearing to die. And most of the times I thought, okay, I would sleep. And then, what if mom kills me? And then I wake up and that
the threat was real to you.
Yes, it was so real to me. And I had that phobia. I believe she didn't mean that. But now I'm a child and I was fearing those words. And most of the time she could beat me so bad. And I'm like, okay, the next thing that will happen is death.
Oh.
So I had that phobia.
And compared with how she would deal with your siblings, this was unique. Or was she dealing with others? Like,
actually she was dealing with... my mom was very harsh. She's
to everyone.
Yes,
then.
Yes. And she was... My mom is a disciplinarian.
Okay.
She disciplines to date. But I think I took it to the next level myself.
Oh. So it is the way we are different. Others could cope. You couldn't.
Exactly, exactly.
All right.
Then I translated it into something else.
Okay.
So I grew that. And now when I'm coming to realize myself, that is now when my dad passed on. And now I'm here, I'm in Form 1. And I remember there's this boy. Actually, I don't even remember his name. The excitement of going to Form 1. So he just wrote some letters for me. Now he's excited, he has gone to Form 1. And I didn't know he had a crush on me. I didn't know. Because that was prohibited in our family. That was a crime. So he writes a letter, and now I'm in school. My sister is one of the teachers in that school, and now I'm not getting the letters. So the boy is writing letters. When I'm not resending back the letters, he's writing another one, and another one, and another one. So what my sister did, my sister was the one who was given the mandate to take me through the secondary education. So
in terms of school fees?
Yes.
Okay.
So she's here with the letters, and now the mistake that she did, she went and opened the letters in the presence of my mom. Actually, I didn't know there were letters. I knew about the letters that particular moment. And now the boy has written the letters, and down there he has drawn some flowers and all that stuff, and a special dedication, the Dolly Patrons. Do I ever cross your mind? I'm like, and I'm like, I don't understand this thing.
This is a neighbor at home.
I don't even remember the boy, actually. I don't even remember that boy.
But he must have been your classmate.
Yes.
Okay. In primary school.
So he's like, he's so joyed that he's going to a secondary school, and I'm like.
And you're also in secondary school.
So, and I was so tiny. And that boy ruined my life.
Do I ever cross your mind?
Yes, do I ever cross your mind? So I'm like, okay. And now my sister is here with the letters. Do I ever cross your mind? And now with mom here. And remember, my mom is going through a very hard time because the husband has gone to be with the Lord, my dad now. So, today is when I understand what she was going through.
Mm.
And the very first word that came in her mouth, she said, Hakuna malaya tasomeshwa tena.
Oh, no.
And at that particular moment, I didn't understand what that was. And true to her words, I never went back to school.
No. But you hadn't replied.
How
could you have stopped someone?
Actually, I didn't even know there were letters. In the first place. So That was the end of my education. I never went back to school.
Why couldn't your sister speak on your behalf?
Now, that one I can't tell because there's nobody who came up with that idea of I going back to school.
Was everyone so terrified of mom, perhaps?
No one ever questioned. I really can't tell because I want you to get this picture that I was very young. This is the time I could have started now getting into a relationship, even with my older sisters. And now you are in a crisis, the teenage crisis. And now there are letters. You don't even understand the content of the letters. And now this is something that has been concluded by your mom, that you're not going back to school. So actually, there's nothing that you can do about that. There's nothing I could have done about that. And remember, I had a lot of fear. I could not resist. And that is a time that you cannot make your own decisions. You're only living on other people's decisions. Because like today now, unless we can sit down with my daughter and agree on something, at the end of the day, I still hold the final decision of her life today. So there's nothing much I could have done about that. So it was concluded. And I have another sister of mine. So I was told, now there's no hakuna pesa itaribiwa. So what you're going to do is that you're going to go for a course. You go and start doing a course. And I went to my sister's house. And my sister had...
the same sister?
No, who? Now another one. And I was told, now you're going to start a course. She was a tailor, so I was to start a tailoring course. My sister had some small kids, and instead of
She was married.
Okay. And she's still married. I thank God for them, and I truly love my sisters.
Okay.
And now I was supposed to take care of the kids. Instead of going for the tailoring course, I went and now became a house girl to these kids. And I remember she always used to tell, remember, you either work, and remember, there's nowhere that you can go because you are when in Malaya.
The declaration was believed.
Yes.
By everyone.
I'll not say by everyone because I didn't know their other part of the deal. But to me, that word sunk, and actually it started manifesting itself later on. And now I'm there, and that is how I met the father of my child. That is how I met my
at your sister's.
Yes, yes. Because now she was harassing me, she was beating me, and then she leaves me without even food. And now this guy is there, he's watching. We used to live in around the same area, and now he's watching. And most of the times he would ask me, why are you not in school? And I'm like, okay, niliambua sitasoma, mimi ni malaya. And I was just saying about that so innocently. I didn't understand what it meant.
You told him?
Yes. And now he started taking advantage of that. And he could buy me food. He could call someone to wash me.
He was working?
Yeah, he was working by then. So, and then one day, to me, this translated to be an angel to me.
Because he's listening to
yes.
you.
Yes. Yeah, he's calling
at a time
me.
No one else is listening.
Yes. And at a time when... and nobody is caring.
Yeah.
And remember, these are the times that you are getting your identity.
Yes.
So this person is listening to you. This person is buying you food when you're left without food. This person is calling someone to do the washing for you and tells you, okay, just go and just have fun with the other children who are not in school. So I saw this man as an angel.
Yeah.
So one
at 13,
day,
that's yes, an angel.
Yes. And one day he got a transfer. By that time he was an administration police.
Oh.
Yes. And he gets a transfer to come to Nairobi, and he just asked me, okay, I'm going to Nairobi, will you come with me? And I'm like, yes, because I want to follow my angel.
You didn't even think.
No, and that time I was just too young to even know what is going on. And then you are now in the crisis. You want to recognize yourself. Now you want to feel you're okay. You want to fight all odds to become yourself. So we came to Nairobi, and actually that is
how. You hid. How did you get out of the house, of your sister's house?
Now my sister is not there. So it's during the day she went to work. The children are in school. So I went. He's just there. He packs his things and then he calls me, come, let's go. And definitely I didn't have a choice. I followed my angel. And that is how I got married.
Did you know you were then going to get married? Was that in your head?
No. I didn't know I was getting married. And actually, I didn't even know I was married until 3 years in the, 3 years in the marriage. That's when it just clicked in my mind. Hiya.
This means I'm married.
Is it real? And I'm like, okay. If this is how people get married, fine.
Oh.
And I'm like, I didn't understand. At 13 years, there is no 13-year-old girl who can know that she's married. So I come in Nairobi, and I'm there. And I think now the guy realizes.
So you're staying in his house?
Yes. And the most funny thing is that he was telling people, this is my firstborn. And actually, you
and
could not.
And people could believe that.
Yes, because I was so tiny. I was so tiny by then.
Anyway, at 30.
Yes.
I'm imagining by the time he's working, he is he's 25 there.
No, he was 38 years. But
oh, no. No, no, no.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, he was. He was 38 by then.
Oh.
So one thing the society was demanding for him to have a home.
He truly wasn't married.
He wasn't married. He wasn't ever married. So I don't know what came into his mind.
Oh.
But that is how I got married. At 13, I'm in a man's house. And now doing things a wife is supposed to do, and I'm like, me, I'll just go and tell my mom what you're doing to me. And he's like, you cannot go. Your mom will beat you. Your sister will kill you. You cannot go anywhere. So what you have to do is to stay here with me. Because there's nowhere that you can go. Nobody wants you. Nobody wants to be associated with you. So you don't have a choice. And that one also sunk in my mind that there is nobody who wants to be associated with me. No one loves me. I cannot go back to my mom because she'll beat me. And now I want you to see how powerful this word now is. And it starts sinking into you. You cannot go back to your mom. He's telling you, you cannot go back to your mom because when I'm a liar.
So finally, he starts talking the same.
Exactly. Because now I had told him innocently about that. And now I didn't have a choice. I had to stick now with this person who is feeding me. This person who is taking care of me. Actually, I'll not say he's taking care of me. But I'm just there. Every day comes with its own challenges. And I'm there. So I stay there. And by then, I was not even... I was not even a woman enough by that time. Honestly, I had not even gotten my first period. I got married when I was not even mature. So, and now I start realizing how useless I am. Nobody wants to be associated with me. Nobody cares about me. Nobody loves me. And then I start a journey of being alone. It's just like a desert. You're just in a desert alone. You don't have anyone to talk to. You don't have anyone to cry to. You're just there alone. So this person gets the appropriate moment to do whatever he feels like he wants to do. Because you're there. And he cannot also take you back to where he got you from. Remember that. And then he's here. He's feeding you. And now at the age of 16, that is when now I'm in I'm 3 years in the marriage. He started becoming, he had already started becoming violent. And he started
beating you?
Yes.
Physically?
Yes. And I thought he's disciplining me. Actually, I didn't know.
You accepted
it? Yes. And he used to tell me, you are not supposed to tell anyone what I do to you. And you're not supposed to talk to anyone. You're not supposed to have any friend. When I leave you here in the house, I don't expect to get you out of the house.
Were you living in a barracks or something
yes,
like that?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And then what I used to do, Because now, remember, my mind is still very young. I used to go and play with other children.
Wife of somebody.
I used to go and play with other children.
Oh, my goodness.
I used to play the hide and seek, the kati, and
would people ask, oh, but it's okay because you're this man's firstborn.
So they don't.
It doesn't play.
And then even the parents of these children could tell the children, go and then kwa ile nyumba, then you went to the movies, we are to fanya kazi ngine and all that stuff. So they could come in our house and we just there, we eat all the money that was left in the morning for supper. We eat sweets, mandazis, and all that. And then when he comes in the evening, by the way, I've not even taken a bath in the evening. So he calls me, come. Kuja sasa uoge. And I'm like,
oh.
It never dawned in my mind that I was married.
Oh.
And then it started sinking. He started telling me, now you're not supposed to do this. You are someone's wife. And I'm like, okay, wife. You're not supposed to do this. You're not supposed to play with other children. You're not supposed to. You're supposed now to start getting composed. And that is how I started composing myself now.
I'm so sorry.
And now when the children comes, I'm like, okay, hatutaenda kucheza. I'm someone's wife.
You started saying it.
Yes. Now it started dawning in my mind. I don't know. But God has been a faithful God, because I learned.
Oh.
Oh. I learned, and finally I became a very bitter person. Yeah. And now I started rebelling. When this man tells me to do something, I don't want to do anything. And now he started becoming violent. He could beat me. And along the way, I conceived. And unfortunately, I lost the baby along the way. But he used to be very violent. And I remember these are the words he used to tell me. I don't live with you because I love you. I live with you because I pity you. I want to feed you. I'm the only person who can feed you, who can clothe you.
Oh.
That is why I'm living with you. It never dawned in my mind. But one day I got myself telling myself, is this the marriage? I've never seen my dad hit my mom. I've never seen my dad speak ill about my mom. So this marriage, my marriage is different.
From my parents.
And I remember there's I got myself a friend out of fear. And we started talking. This woman got concerned. And she's like, okay, who is this person to you? And I'm...
She's okay. Just within the neighborhood?
Yes. And I'm like, okay. He tells me I'm his wife. And she's like, what do you do? And I just talk innocently because I don't know. And then she tells me, okay, this is not how it is supposed to be. I'm married. My husband never beat me. And I'm like, okay. Then mine is different. And one day I asked my husband, why did you beat me? And he's like, okay, I told you, and I want to remind you again, I don't live with you because I love you. Me, I don't love you. I took you because I pitied you.
Oh.
Okay, fine. And then he's telling me, you have to live with me because you will not get food out there. You will not get shelter out there. You will not go back to your mother because she hates you. And that used to sink in my mind. I thank God. Along the way, I got about 4 miscarriages.
Oh.
I got 4 pregnancies and I got 4 miscarriages. Remember, there's nobody that you can talk to. You cannot tell your mom what you're going through. Because when
Were you even in touch with your people? Were they looking for you?
They were just tired because, remember...
Did anybody know where you were?
No. Actually, they stayed for about almost 5 years without knowing where I was.
No one knows where you are?
Yes. Nobody knew where I was. And actually, I want to say today that I feel they never cared where I was. And remember that word. It started manifesting itself because this is how I get married. The wrong way, of course.
Yeah.
In our home, there's nobody else who had gotten married that way. all of us had a colorful wedding, and all of us had the blessings of the parents.
The ones ahead of you.
Yes. So I'm here, I'm getting married in the wrong way. And now that word that my mom spoke started manifesting itself, and it became very strong. And it started following me after that. I'm there, I've stayed. And now I happen to get about 4 miscarriages. And I get to a point now, this man becomes so violent. He brings women in the house. And before then...
In the house?
Yes. After about 2 years, he got an opportunity to work with the UN. So he started earning good. We get out of the barracks. And we he has cash. So I'm like, okay, now, is this all that life has? And he started becoming very violent. He started sleeping with my house girls. He started sleeping with other women. He doesn't care. And when you ask, he tells me, remember the reason why I'm staying with you. It's because you're here. I want to feed you. I want to clothe you. And there's nowhere else that you can go. And true to his words, I didn't have anywhere else that I could have done. That was the lie of the devil. And... I stayed in that abusive marriage for about 9 years. And finally, God was merciful. In his own ways, he just brought me out of the misuse of this man. And after about some few years, that is when now I got my baby.
After the 4 miscarriages,
yes.
She comes right
yes.
after that.
Yes. And remember that time I was not even born again. I only relied on the testimony of my father, because I knew my dad was saved. Because one, he loved me. So to me, that one I translated that he's born again. So I relied on his faith. And I remember I was telling God, God of my father, I pray that you bless me. God of my father, I pray that you give me a child. So here comes the baby, and all along, I didn't carry the baby to term because I got very sick along the way, and the doctors were saying I cannot bring this child to term. But finally, I made it. I had my child when she was 7 months, but she made it.
She made it.
Yes. And after that, about 6 months down the line, we realized that my baby is sick. And I'm like, okay. So we go to the doctors, and the doctor says the match that this baby can go is 5 years. She has juvenile diabetes.
Oh.
Yes.
That's a month-old baby. It's a
yes.
month old.
Yeah, 6. Actually, we realized she was diabetic when she was 5 months.
But let's pick up your story.
Yes.
So you finally get a baby.
Yes.
The baby...
is diabetic.
Oh, dear. And at age 6 months.
Yes. And the doctors, actually the best doctor says the match you can go is 5 years. So.
As in alive.
Yes.
She will die after 5 years.
Yes. I almost feared, because I don't want her to grow. I don't want her to get to 5 years. But I thank God. Before she was 5 years, she was healed. And now I get a baby. And she's diabetic. She's always on Dr. Manundu, the Tabibu cures. And now my baby gets ill every now and then. And one day my husband wakes up in the morning and tells me, I'm tired of marrying a foolish woman. And I want you to leave. I don't know whether I can use these words, because every time I talk about these words, they become so real. But thank God I've been able to go through it and even to forgive. Because he said,
oh.
Go and die at your home. That is where you guys become sick. And I'm like, okay. But before then, let me come to now the worst part of my marriage. Before I get there, because that when we were sent away, that was the beginning of our healing. Before then... 2003, he comes home. He tells me, now I want to make you my wife. And I'm like, okay, you want to make me your wife? Sour.
And do you understand that? What did you understand by that?
I never understood anything. And now, remember, I've
Or did you imagine a wedding?
Yeah, I never imagined a wedding. But now after that, it sinks in my mind. He wants us to have a wedding. And in 2003, we have a great wedding.
You did?
Yes, yes. It was a colorful wedding. And after that, we went to South Africa. That is why we went for our honeymoon. But even during our wedding night, I really, he really beat me that night.
The night before the wedding or the
wedding
after
night.
The... Oh.
That. Anyway, in Safari Park, he beat me so much. And he's going through the camera. And he's like, look at, now what were you staring at? And you know, when you're getting married, you're the center of attraction. And you just get carried away alone.
Oh.
And he feels this was so embarrassing. You're just staring at people like a foolish woman. And like, I just received a thorough beating, that is. And
at the hotel?
Yes. And it was so severe. Then we go to South Africa. He brings a woman in our bed and he tells me, oh, I know you're so tired. Let just someone help you in this.
No.
Yes, yes. And actually, I was used to it because he used to bring women in the house. He used to sleep in my house, girls, in my presence. So this was not something new. I was used to it. And actually, I didn't find it a big deal.
Oh.
Yeah. In the first place, I thought this is how every woman is being treated.
Oh.
But later on, I came to realize every woman is precious and every woman should be treated with dignity. And that is now where the pain comes in. And that is now where God comes in because of the healing. So after the wedding, one day he came home. He called me. And he told me, Catherine, I want you to prepare dinner for us. I have some guests who are coming. And so I asked him, do I prepare for you guys? And he's like, okay, just do rice and liver. And make sure that the kid and the house girl are asleep. Okay. And then he tells me, I want to get you in a nightdress. And there was a nightdress he had bought for me, a very elegant nightdress, and he tells me, I want you to wear that when I'm coming. And so here he comes with three guys and one girl, and I'm like, okay, maybe this is a meeting or something. So I serve them dinner. The baby is asleep, because remember, I still have fear. The fear is already inflicted in me. I don't have anything. I cannot contribute anything in that house. I'm just there. It is this way and it is that way. So I don't have a right to ask anything or to contribute anything in that house. So he comes home and so now, because they are the guests, I can't be in a nightdress, definitely. So I'm wearing a t-shirt and he's like, why didn't you put on the nightdress I asked you to?
In front of the guests?
Yes. And now they started, the girl that he was with started mocking me. And he's like, okay, why do you like so much going out with other women? You have a beautiful chick here.
And the girl said that?
Yes. So they're kind of mocking me, but I don't understand. Really, I could not understand. I was just too naive for that. And remember, I didn't even have education. Anyway, I was just a mshamba girl. I hear him say, wachana nae, she's just a fool that is eating my food. And I'm like, okay. So I serve them food, they ate, and then now he tells me, I want you to bring drinks for us. And I get them some drinks, and now they're in my bedroom. And I'm asking, I thought...
Everyone.
Yes, everyone. And now I'm thinking they're kind of having a meeting or something. So I'm like...
You are used to the bedroom being invaded.
Not really. The bedroom, I was used to women invading the bedroom.
Men, no.
So he's here with the men.
And this girl.
They just doing their own things. They're kissing around. They're holding each other around. And I'm like, okay. I was used to that. And I could not even ask anything. So we get into the bedroom. And I noticed that he locked the door.
You are inside or outside?
Yes. All of us now are inside the bedroom. And
why
he
did
locks,
you go to the bedroom?
He calls me and tells me, bring us some drinks. So they're in the bedroom.
Oh, I serve you them. Are serving drinks, yes, in the bedroom.
In the bedroom. So, and I'm asking, can I sleep in a separate bedroom? Because I see you have guests. And he tells me, no, we want you here. And he tells me, why didn't you come with your glass? And I'm like, since when did I take alcohol? And he tells me, okay, there's no point. Actually, we need you when you're sober. And that one didn't even raise anywhere in my mind. So I'm there. He locks the door. And he jumps straight in the bed with the girl. And now, I hear him telling this man, you guys enjoy yourselves.
Oh, no. No, no, no. Don't go further.
Yeah.
Don't go further.
Yeah, I understand how it feels. But,
no.
Yes. And, no, no, no. And now they're here. And they started having fun. He's there having fun. And I'm like, okay, don't you see what these guys are doing? And he tells me, you're very stupid. Can't you see how busy I am? And I'm like, okay. And true to his words, they enjoyed themselves. They raped me the whole night. And then in the morning, he tells me, wake up and prepare breakfast for us.
That was the worst.
Yeah, that was
not. Why couldn't you just get out of there?
The room really is locked.
No, no, no. After that, you know very well now what is happening,
yes,
to you. But was this, and this is after your daughter has been born.
Yes. But let me tell you something. Until the Lord prepares you for what he wants, sometimes things look like you're a fool. Sometimes you don't understand why you still stick there. Because today, I asked myself, why on earth did I stick there?
Yeah.
But
you couldn't. Something was wrong with your mind.
Yes.
I think.
And today, mm-hmm, today I don't say something was wrong with my mind. Today I say it was a process. It was a process because many people out there may think that worse things have happened to them. But wait until you listen to something like this and you get to realize, oh my God, I'm still not even a quarter of this.
I will have to hurry you so that we get your story before we run out of time.
Yes.
Take us to your freedom. You are, yes, a slave now, really.
Yes.
What the picture I hear now, that is what is called a slave.
Yes. So after that, he comes. One day we go to Mombasa. We come with the first flight in the morning. And he tells me now, he goes to work and then comes in the evening and tells me, Catherine, I'm tired of marrying a foolish woman. I want you to go. I'm tired of marrying you.
You go to your place where,
yes,
people
are sick.
Yes.
So I didn't have a choice. I just take my child, my sick child, and go to my mom. We go to my mom. We stay there for a night. And then she sends us away in the morning. And we come here back in
Nairobi. That was the first time she was seeing you after. Oh, they,
yes,
had come for the wedding.
They had, actually.
Okay.
Now, because now she's okay. If this is how it is, fine. So, and remember, all this time I'm not born again. So I come back here in Nairobi. I struggled so much. I watched my baby go hungry. But I didn't know that the very first miracle happened when we were sent away. Because my baby got healed instantly.
Really?
Yes.
She just didn't have.
Yes.
It just,
and one day we just went to see a doctor, and I'm like, and the doctor tells me, why are you here? Why are you coming? Your daughter is, oh, okay. And I'm, you don't know what you're saying. And from that moment, I never went back to hospital to date as I'm talking.
She's 13.
Yes, she's 13 and she's completely healed, a beautiful baby girl.
Oh.
So after that, we struggled. I watched my baby go through hunger. I decided to eliminate ourselves. We tried poison. We never died. I tried going to the streets. I was rejected in the street. Yes, I was. I tried. I got myself. I involved myself in a relationship. The man is HIV positive. I come out of that negative and I'm like, that is now how I started fearing this God. And I'm like, I want to know the power behind this. There's another power that is greater than HIV. There's another power that is greater than death. This is the power I want to know. And however, if you want to find God, he does not hide so much.
You will find him.
Yes.
Find
so that
him.
Is how I found God. That is way back.
You started thinking,
yes,
this, I must know him.
Yes.
So you started seeking.
Yes.
Okay.
And remember, I was very bitter with this God. Because one, he's not even killing us. I want to die. He's not killing us. So I wanted to know the power behind this. And that is how I got saved in my house, 2007. I got born again.
Alone?
Yes. I just got born again. And one day, I was in town. And I had Bishop Dr. Makarioki, who was preaching. That time he was just from Nakuru, and he was in Nairobi. I had they were preaching, and I decided, okay, let me just get in and hear what they are saying. And I remember the pastor was preaching, and that is how I got myself crying and giving my life to the Lord. And from that time, God has been faithful. He has been great to me. And along the way, I started asking him some questions. I wanted to know why he let me go through all this. And one day, I remember he just told me, Catherine, I cannot walk with you like this. Allow me to shape you and give you the desired shape. Allow me to walk with you.
He's speaking within your heart.
Yes, yes. Actually, not the way people say that the Lord was speaking.
Mm-mm.
The Lord literally knocked me down. He knocked me down and he started speaking to me and he showed me so many things. And one day he just brought some like two trees to me. One was neatly dressed and the other one was very shaggy. And he told me, Catherine, right now, you just look like this tree.
Mm.
Allow me to shape you, to give you shape, the desired shape that I want to give you until you become like this dressed tree. And until I'm done with you, allow me to take you through the process. And what God did, one, he lifted me up. He never let us sleep hungry anymore. He lifted me from nothing to something, literally from nothing to something. And he made sure that he gave me the peace within me.
Yeah.
And he
because
started,
at this time you don't have any income.
Yes. I washed people's clothes and I was happy. I was actually when I was washing people's clothes, and remember I'm not even educated, so I cannot even go looking for a job.
Yeah.
So he makes sure that I get food to put on the table. We get house rent. And God gave me the peace within that I needed
most
so
important.
Much. Yes. And I could wash people's clothes and sing happy. And sing and sing. I was happy. And when you give me that 200 shillings, I am feeling so good. I've worked for this. This is mine. And my child is going to eat my sweat. I was so happy. And that is how life started. And we came along with the Lord. The Lord started teaching me. Remember, I'm still in the desert alone. Because one day I was asking the Lord, now I'm just too much alone. Why can't you just raise someone for me even to talk to? And the Lord told me, do not divert my mission on you. Because
like you feel you have no friends.
I didn't have. Actually, I didn't even have. I didn't have friends.
And you have no family.
Yes. You're like, you're just alone in the desert. And God was reminding me when
you
was...
And your temperament is the kind that wants social.
Yes, I'm that kind of a person that wants to be loved.
Yes.
You see?
After all, you've suffered a lot of rejection.
Yes.
Yeah.
God was reminding me about David. And one day God told me, I'm looking for a queen in you. So allow me to take you through the shepherd's training. Because he was reminding me about David. When God was looking for a king, he was not looking for a shepherd in David. But he had to take David through a shepherd's training until he became a king. And when he was out there, he most of the times he became very, very lonely. And that is where God taught David how to fight.
Yes.
So in the desert, when I was lonely, that is when God taught me to fight. And that is when God taught me to forgive. That is where God taught me to only trust upon him. And he used to remind me that my promises are real. And they are the only promises that you can trust. So I learned to date that the only promise I can trust is that of the Lord.
Amen.
Even if you promise me heavens, the only promise I know that it's real, it's that
the
of
one
the Lord.
From the Lord.
And God brought me along the way until he brought me to a point now where I could praise him without fear and without the bitterness. One thing that God did, he shed off the bitterness that I had.
And let's go there because
yes.
You had, you know, let's put it in an earthly way.
Yes.
you had every reason
yes
to be bitter.
Uh-huh.
Bitter with your mom.
Yes.
Oh, dear.
Mm-hmm.
Bitter with your sister.
Yes.
The one who brought the letters.
Uh-huh.
I mean,
bitter with everybody.
Bitter with your sister, the one you became a house help to.
Yes.
And more so, bitter with this man that somebody is writing to me from mother in law and saying that, but that was an animal, not a human being. Yeah. You had every right.
Yes.
Every, humanly speaking,
yes. Yes.
Every right to be bitter.
Yes.
How can you look at me and tell me you are no longer bitter? How did that go?
What I want to say is that today I'm bold enough to say I'm not bitter. I forgive. I respect the father of my child because he is the father of my child. And the best thing that he ever did is to chase me away from his house so that I may have an encounter with the
with
Lord.
Jesus.
Yeah. Because if I could still be there, the worst thing could have happened because I could not have known the Lord.
Yes.
And what the Lord did, when he gets in your heart, he starts sweeping away every negative thing that you had because you cannot be able to do it by your own strength. I remember one day I was telling God, now God, come and sit here. Let's talk. You are telling me to shed off the pain. What if it was you? They did this to you. You could not also have forgiven. And because you are God, I want you to remove this heart from me that cannot forgive. This heart that I have cannot forgive. This heart that I have cannot even want to face anybody. It is so bitter.
It's paining too bad.
It's paining. It's hurting. Yeah. It's bleeding.
Yeah.
And because you want to walk with me, remove this heart from me and give me a new heart that can forgive. And can I tell you what the Lord does?
Mm.
He is a very, very faithful God. And when you seek him diligently, he's always there, available for you. Actually, he's never far from you. So what he did, he knew this heart could not forgive. So he removed this heart and gave me a new heart. A heart that is not bitter. A heart that is not hurting. A heart that is not bleeding.
You just found you are no longer paining.
Yes. I even felt I want to be associated with those people. I went looking for them.
For your mom?
Yes. Who? And mom, I love that woman. I love her. She's the best thing that ever happened to me.
How can you say that?
Yes. Because she's the only gift. My mom never aborted me. My mom never killed me. I just love her.
In as much as she threatened
yes.
me, she never carried it out.
Yes. And today when she sees me, she's like, you're blessed, my daughter. And I literally take that. That I'm blessed.
Let me ask you, did you ever, ever talk about her abuse? Because that too was abuse.
Yes.
Maybe she didn't realize it, but
yes.
that too was abuse.
Yes.
The words spoken to you, the withdrawing from school, that was abuse.
Yes.
Have you and mom ever sat down and you as you tell her how it felt?
Okay, what happened is that when God removes the pain from you, you start seeing things in a positive way. So one day, I just decided I just want to go home. And I bought her a gift and went home and told her, Mom, I've come. I'm your child and I want you to bless me today. I didn't want to go into deeper details, but I just told her, I want you to bless me today. And all that I wanted was her to utter the blessing to me, which she did. She laid her hand on my head and prayed for me and told me, my daughter, you are blessed. I bless you, my daughter.
So you never talked about the past?
No.
Okay.
And I felt within myself like a heavy burden was lifted.
So you never want to talk about the past?
With her, no. I want, maybe if God wants me to do it in his own ways.
Okay.
But I don't want to introduce that to her. I want to respect her. I want the love that I feel for her to retain. I love her. She's my mom. And she carries my blessings. Because the Lord told me one day, it's me that have lifted up out the curse from you. Nobody could have lifted that curse from you. It is me who have lifted the curse because I want to walk with you. Because you have an uncompleted assignment with me.
Mm.
And I told Lord, thank you because of lifting the curse from me.
Amen.
And from that time, I can tell you that I'm a totally different person. I'm highly favored.
Amen.
Wherever I go, I don't face rejection anymore. Mm. I'm loved.
Amen.
And you just even feel people want to be associated with you. And I'm heading far. I don't hold the grudge anymore. I don't hold the bitterness anymore. I want the Lord to deal with me. I want the Lord to use me as a vessel of honor.
Amen.
Amen.
Could you explain your English before we... A number of people want to know... We left you in Form 1, dropping out. Which term was that, by the way?
First term. I'm talking about the first
term.
You
only went for first term.
Yes, yes. And this is where I tell people there is nothing that our God cannot do.
Because?
I'm polished. The other day, I was out there talking to lecturers. I was in a certain conference. They want to pick. I don't know what they were doing, but they just called me. They wanted me to speak to them, and I'm like, I'm there. They are writing, and I'm like, what are these people writing? And God made sure that I'm so polished. I'm so polished because I tell people there is nothing that the Lord cannot do.
So how do you explain the English then?
It's from heaven.
It's from heaven.
It's from heaven.
If I was
actually, I flow very, very well in English more than any other language.
Okay.
Yes, because the Lord polished it, because that was my desire. Mm. Remember, I was still a very bright girl when I was young.
Yes.
But because of all this stuff, now I could not have gone through with my education.
Yeah.
But I thank God, because in Him, there is nothing that is difficult with Him.
The other thing you've done is to sing.
Yes.
You recognize that you had a gift.
Yes.
In singing.
Yeah.
But Catherine, what about that husband? Have you ever met after that?
Yes.
Oh my goodness. Dear. I'm a bit scared because I just think he's a dangerous man. Really. I think he needs help. Psychological help.
Yes.
Spiritual help.
Mm-hmm.
Help in every way.
What the Lord told me is that I cannot walk with you when you have not fully forgiven. Forgiveness is paramount to someone who wants to be used by the Lord. So what I did, I just told him, I forgive you. Whatever it was, I forgive you. And remember, he is still the father of my child. And I value him because he gave me a daughter. A great daughter for that matter. So I forgive. I don't hold any grudges against him.
And so when you met him, what did you tell him?
I just told him, I forgive you.
You just went to say that?
Yes.
You looked for him so that you could say that?
He was in a hospital bed, and he just sent for me. And he said, I want you to come and pray for me. I want this God that has brought you all this far, just come and minister about this God to me. And I went.
From a hospital bed?
Yes. And I told him, this God loves you so much. And what God does not want is for you to die a sinner. So just trust upon God. I forgive you. Everything, every bit, I forgive you. I don't hold anything against you. I forgive you. So now it's your part to tell the Lord to forgive you. But for me, I don't hold anything against him.
And what did he do?
I don't know after that, because I just led him to the Lord.
You did?
Yes. Yes, I led him to the Lord. So after that, I did not do the follow-up. Yeah. But what I know is that I did your what part. Was right yes. and what I was supposed to do.
That was your part.
Amen.
Join us next week for another life-changing story on Profile, only on Hope FM, where you listen and live.